The fourth chapter is the title of this section, Bible School. And the outline, they give the outlines of these chapters in these study notes, and we may run off some copies if the rest of you would like them. The first verse is entitled The Scarcity of Man. The second verse is The Branch of the Lord. The third and fourth verses, The Holy City, the Earthly City. And verses 5 and 6, The Lord, a Tabernacle. Praise the Lord. We will read through the chapter and then come back. Look at it and oh, some wonderful things. Praise the Lord. So let's all just forget whatever we've been doing today and just think of this tonight. Get our minds filled up with this word. All right, the first verse. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. And this is rich. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. Praise the Lord. We want to keep in mind, this is during the millennium he's talking about. All right, this chapter corresponds to the book of Numbers. And this fifth verse that we have speaks of a cloud. And in Numbers 9, and we're going to turn to these tonight, in Numbers 9, and verses 15 to 17, we have cloud mentioned. Numbers 9, verses 15 to 17. Now, this is a cloud that God covered Israel with, and he's going to do it again one of these days. Numbers 9:15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony, and at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always, the cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. And that whole, there's much about it there, but let's go over to the 12th chapter and read verses 5 and verse 10. Cloud is a type of the Holy Spirit, typifies the Holy Spirit. Chapter 12, verses 5 and then verse 10. And the Lord came down, wouldn't that be glorious, in the pillar of the cloud? I'd like to see him come down right now, wouldn't you? And the Lord came down, that'd be wonderful, in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. This is when Miriam and Aaron, the brother and sister of Moses, thought they had as much right to rule as Moses. And the 10th verse, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. Behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam. Behold, she was leprous. So there we see the cloud God protected there too. This cloud covered the tabernacle, as we read there in Numbers. And in the millennium, this time that we're so close to, the cloud will be restored to its place over the remnant of Israel. And then also, in the sixth verse, we read of a place of refuge. Notice that. And for the latter part of the verse, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. Now, If anybody thinks the word isn't inspired, they better get into this. In this book of Numbers, we also have the cities of refuge. Miss Precious, let's go to Numbers 35. Numbers 35. Holy Spirit wrote this, and I'm glad we can believe it. Numbers 35 and verse 6 will begin. This whole chapter is about these cities of refuge, but we'll just read two or three here. Numbers 35, the sixth verse, and then we'll go down to the 11th. And among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be six cities for refuge, which shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither, and to them ye shall add 42 cities. And these six cities, we'll read it here, because it explains in the 11th verse. Then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person unawares or in error. By error is in the Hebrew. And we could go on and read that, but there will be three, well, the 14th verse, let's read it. And ye shall give three cities on this side of Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. They were still on the east side of the Jordan, so that would be three cities on that side and three on this side. And this is a wonderful study, because each of these cities represent Christ in a different aspect. So it's a wonderful study there. Praise the Lord. So in this chapter, we have him again as a place of refuge. All right, we have a lot here, so let's get into it. All right, this first verse, the threat that was denounced against the daughters of Zion is brought now to a close. And this judgment will be just a portion of the judgment which will fall on everything that is lofty and is high and exalted on the earth. Everything will be brought low. That's going to be a wonderful day. But Jerusalem, the city itself, will be where the terrible, ungodly glory will be ripe for judgment. That's this city that we just have heard just the last two or three days that they were going to give up two or three more sections near Jerusalem to the PLO. But my, have you watched the news, the terrible riots that are going on over there? It's terrible. That's going on because of the city of Jerusalem. They want it. This PLO want it, but they're not going to have it, not just yet anyway. But Jerusalem itself is going to be ripe for judgment. And remember who is going to be in that city of Jerusalem, in the holy place. Remember, we read in Revelation that the image of the Antichrist is going to be placed there in the holy place, and that's when the Lord's going to intervene. We read of that in the book of Daniel, and that image is going to be there, and breath is going to be given unto this image. It's going to be a work of Satan that will be done there. But this in Jerusalem is where the judgment is going to be concentrated at this time. But also there, the light and the glory of Jesus Christ will manifest itself, and that's what's going to be wonderful. But this judgment that Israel is going to go through, and especially we're speaking about the nation Israel, it's going to be the means of Israel's salvation. We read in the previous chapter up there in the 25th verse that men shall fall by the sword and by mighty in the war. And this will be the reason that their seven women shall take hold of one man. There's going to be a scarcity of men. So and we read here about their reproach. They'll tell a man, they'll take hold all of their well, we call it their modesty, will be taken away. They say, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. The reproach that he's speaking about here is widowhood. And that thought about take hold is they won't be bashful. Well, I don't think women are that way today here either. But they will forego the claim of that God wrote over in Exodus 21:10, and we're going to read that. So in order that they will be wedded and they will bear children. And let's read that in Exodus before we go on any further. Exodus 21 and the 10th verse. Praise the Lord. 21:10 of Exodus. Let's read up the 9th verse. And if he have betrothed her unto his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. If he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall he not diminish. In other words, he'll take care of her. But here the woman says, we will eat our own bread. You won't have to provide for us. We want to remember that the Jewish women, every one of them, knew that there was going to be a woman that was going to bear the seed. That's Jesus Christ. And every one of them wanted to bear a child with in hopes that they would be the one that would be bearing this seed. And that's what they, when they couldn't bear a child, it was a reproach because they wanted to bear this seed. But you know, I thought of this with us today. We have within us Christ, don't we? And we allow him to grow up in us. And as we do, our reproach is taken away, and I thank the Lord for that. So many wonderful truths in here. All right, the second verse. In that day, that's a millennial day now, shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. The branch of the Lord. In the Hebrew, the primary root word for branch, it means to sprout forth. And it gives the idea of the energy of life, sprout forth. And it's speaking here of a shoot springing out of the Davidic earthly soil, a shoot which Jehovah planted in the earth and would cause to break through and spring forth. I don't know where I got that. I think it was Justinius. I'm not sure. There's several study books that we use, but that's wonderful. A shoot springing out of the Davidic earthly soil, a shoot which Jehovah planted in the earth and would cause to break through and spring forth. Now we want to keep in mind that this promise of a seed was given clear back in Genesis 3:15. We saw him in type even when God slew the animal and clothed Adam and Eve. But yet the promise of a seed was in Genesis 3:15. That's the first prophetic scripture that we have in the Word. So Jesus here is seen here as the branch, and there's four places, especially in the Word, where we see him as the branch, and each of these correspond with the four Gospels. This one here corresponds with the Gospel of John. He's the branch of the Lord, beautiful and glorious. He's seen here as beautiful and glorious. Or literally, it's for beauty, ornament, and glory. And these attributes of beauty and glory, remember when we were studying the tabernacle, who wore them? Let's go to Exodus 28:2. I got into the tabernacle a little today in studying this, and I thought, oh my, it'd be wonderful to get into that study again. Exodus 28 and the second verse. This is what God instructed them to do for the Aaron, who was a type of Christ. Exodus 28:2, and thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And I love that, holy garments. And they're for glory and for beauty. So we today wear holy garments. And they are for, not for our glory, or not for our beauty, but for the glory of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So here we see Christ in as the branch, as the Melchizedek priest. We see him displayed here in this fourth chapter of Isaiah. we'll give you the other places where the branch is seen in the other Gospels. In Isaiah, and I believe we'll just turn to them, in Isaiah 11:1, I have marked my Bible up so I know where they are. Isaiah 11:1, we have him here as a branch that we see in the Gospel of Matthew. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem or stump of Jesse, and a branch, there we have it again, a green shoot shall grow out of his roots, and that's Christ. So there we see him as the king, which Matthew portrays him as the king. Okay, let's go over to the book of Zechariah, next to the last book of the Old Testament. Any of you have any thoughts now as we go through these or any questions? We're here to learn, and that's what I praise the Lord for. We're not up here to just talk. We're up here to teach, and that each one of us, and myself included, will learn something new and something wonderful from this book that is so eternal and so wonderful. Zechariah 3:8. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, or that means they're men which are a sign. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. Now, what gospel was he portrayed as a servant? The Gospel of Mark. Yes. So here we see him as in the Gospel of Mark, and we'll get to that other one in Isaiah. Then over in 6th chapter of Zechariah and the 12th verse, we see him. It's precious to me how the Holy Spirit had all of this back in the Old Testament, and then he brings it out in the New. Zechariah 6:12. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, there's that name again, saying, behold the man, this is Christ, whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Now we can get a clue here. Behold the man whose name is the branch. Where is he portrayed as the man? The Gospel of Luke. Yes, yeah, we have him here as the God-man. So there we have the four. Now, we have other places where the branch is mentioned, but these four are especially important as to the Gospels. Zechariah 3:8, 11:1 of Isaiah. That's where he's seen as in Matthew, typified in Matthew. Yes. Okay. All right. Now, notice here, we have him called the branch, but he's also called the fruit of the earth. And it's not only pertaining to those who come to know him, but in the original, and I want to read the first verses 2 and 3 in the Hebrew poetry right away. The second verse says, the sprout of the Lord shall be beauty and glory. The fruit, and that word, the F, is capitalized. The fruit of the land shall be pleasant and fair for his redeemed Israel. And holy shall he be, remaining in Zion, all in Jerusalem, written alive. And I love that. In other words, they're born again, and their names will be written. This is the remnant now. Their names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, written alive. Isn't that precious? I love that. Because the rest of them are going to be slain. All right, so we have him as the branch and then the fruit. We have twofold description of Jesus in his deity and in his humanity. He is of the earth, the land. Notice the fruit of the earth. He was in his birth and in his death. He came out of the root. He was that root that laid in the ground for thousands of years. And he came up. But then he is also the Lord. He is of the Lord. He's Jehovah. As regards to his descent from David and his family, we know, we read in Luke that his family was They lived in Nazareth. They were poor. They had to offer up turtle doves. We read that in Luke, the second chapter. But here we see his deity. He was of the line of David. I had a scripture down, and I can't remember what it is. I have John 12:24. Let's see what it is. Oh, yes. I thought it was. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So there we have him as the fruit. Praise the Lord. All right, we have some other wonderful things in this verse. Notice, he shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. He shall be excellent. Now, he becomes that to us now, but this is speaking about him when this remnant accepts him. He's going to be excellent to them. Let's go to Hebrews, the first chapter. And he is excellent. There's no one who is perfect but him. This life in us that he gave to us is perfect, but it has to be perfected, it has to be mature. Hebrews, the first chapter, and the fourth verse. And when we read these scriptures and realize that the angels are wonderful beings, but we have a higher calling than the angels, and we are because of what he did for us. Hebrews 1:4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And that's all we're going to read there. And then over in the 8th chapter of Hebrews and the 6th verse. 8:6. He's excellent. See? And this little remnant that is going to realize how excellent he is to them. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. So there we see him there, this excellent ministry that he has. Praise the Lord. Each of these we could get into. Now let's go to the Song of Solomon and find him over here. Song of Solomon 5, and it's right before Isaiah, so it should be easy to find. Song of Solomon 5 and verses 15 and 16. While you're finding it, I want to tell you a little something. Yesterday I saw Patty for a little bit. She says, we tried to get you yesterday. She says, we were studying, and we wanted to know what the word grace meant. They called us up, but we had to be in town. They want to know what the word grace means. I gave her some things on it, but I thought, thank the Lord, they're studying, you know. Wonderful how the Lord's getting hold of their heart. Song of Solomon 5, 15 and 16. This whole section is marvelous about him. Won't it be wonderful when we see him? His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. Notice the wording, excellent as the cedars. He sees majestic. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is the bridal company talking. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. It's sad that she had explained to them that his mouth there means his speech, his palate. What he says to us is most sweet. It's tender. It's marvelous. But it's sad that she had to explain to him what he meant to her, isn't it? So many Christians do not realize how wonderful he is. Occupied with everything else but who he is. All right. Now notice, he shall be called, the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. These are the ones that will be left after the tribulation days and after the burning will go on. They are escaped of Israel. And we'll talk on that again in a little bit. This third verse. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, these will be those that escaped, that will be protected by God, this remnant, they'll be left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy. Now this verse, this word holy emphasizes this verse. This is what we are now. We're partakers of his holy divine nature. We're holy. Thank the Lord for that. We're holy. And this is going to be the chief honor of that this little remnant, is that they're going to be holy as he is holy. Whereas they were before, they were people that formerly they were distinguished by their rank of who they were, or by their moral wealth, whatever it was. This is what they were distinguished by. But here, it will be their holiness. This is their chief honor, is they're going to be holy as he is holy. This word holy, well, first let's go to read Isaiah 52. This just thrills me. I love this. Praise the Lord. 52 and the 7th verse. Praise the Lord. This is what God called Israel to be. We read in the book of Exodus, he called them to be a holy nation, and they didn't become this holy nation. They wanted to be like the other nations. But let's read Isaiah 52 and the first verse. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. The uncircumcised would be the Gentile powers that are today pressing against them, and the unclean here will be the Antichrist that will be coming against them. And we really believe that he is living, and he's going to step forward after the bridal company is gone. Now, the word holy in the Hebrew is kadosh, and it denotes withdrawn or sphere or separated from the world. We're separated, aren't we, unto the Lord? We're separated from the world. John 17, I love that. That one chapter of John, he was not of the world, and neither are we of the world. Now, if you could find the little book of Obadiah, it's back after Joel, after Amos. It just has one chapter, so you may find it before I do. That's one chapter. It's around Micah and Nahum, and I wanted to read this. Okay, it's after Amos. If you can find Amos. Daniel, Hosea, and then Amos, I believe is how they... Obadiah, and I want to read the 17th verse. Did everybody find it? But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. Isn't that wonderful? God says this. There shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. This is what God has purposed before the foundation of the world, that there will be this nation that is going to serve the Lord and be holy. And he's going to bring this about. Now, let's go to Joel, a little ways over, Joel 3:17. Maybe it's back the other way. Some of these are, yeah, it's back the other way. Joel 3:17. It's right before him. Praise the Lord. Holiness is a wonderful thing. You know, when we're out in the world and we feel the defilement, and then we come into the presence of the Lord and get into the Word, we feel that holiness. It is so marvelous. We just cleansed. Joel 3:17, so shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. Won't that be wonderful? Today, strangers are passing through that land. They want that land, but God's not going to let them possess it. There no more will they pass through that land. That's going to be a wonderful day. And this is during the millennium. We want to keep this in mind. there, that this remnant is going to be there, that God's going to protect them, as we're going to find out in a little bit. All right, the fourth verse of Isaiah 4. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Now, these that are that will be washed are, will be those that have been left, as we had up above. The Lord will have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion. In the first chapter and the sixth verse, let's read it, he told them what to do, but they didn't obey him. In 1:16, he says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. But they didn't do it, and they're not doing it today. So he has to come and wash away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purge them from their blood. They didn't obey him. So the sovereign ruler of the universe comes down and he does the job. And when he does it right. Praise the Lord. He'll purge away and wash by the spirit of judgment and burning. The word burning here is also extermination of the wicked by the divine power. These daughters of Zion were wicked. They didn't yield to the Lord. They didn't obey the Lord. So therefore, he washes away their filth. He exterminates, as it were, the wicked by the power of God. He's here as the judge. He comes down out of heaven as the judge, and he speaks to them. And this word burning also speaks of sifting. Sifting. Let's go to the 30th chapter of Isaiah. This world is in for a lot of sorrow, and I'm glad that we don't have to be here. Isaiah 30, verses 27 and 28. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to understand these scriptures? It's so precious. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue, notice the members of his body, and his tongue as a devouring fire, and his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations with a sieve of vanity. What expression. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. And you know what this bridle is? Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2. Who do you think he is? We read of him over here in 2 Thessalonians. Remember, this one who is the bridle is going to be in Jerusalem. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 and 12. And he's also going to bridle the nations. He's going to govern them. For this cause, well, let's read the 10th verse. Well, we got to go up to the 8th, up there, the 8th verse. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose working is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. And notice the reason they will perish. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. See the emphasis there? Do we love the truth? We love it. We really love it enough to die for the truth. Some of these martyrs died for the truth. Paul did. In the 11th verse, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, or the working of error, that they should believe the lie. This is the bridle that is going to be put upon the people, bridle in their jaws. Quite a description, isn't it? All right. Also, the word burning, I got several meanings of it, and I thought it was good. It also means the primary root. In another book, it means to kindle, that is, consumed by fire. Now, let's go to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi 3 and verses 2 and 3. These are the things that are coming, and glad we know that the Lord's opened our eyes. Malachi 3, verses 2 and 3. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi. Who were they? They what? I heard somebody say priest. The priest. They were the priest. Notice that. He'll purify them and purge them as gold and silver. For what reason? That they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now there were priests. There are priests of the tribe of Levi today. They have searched them out. But they are not godly priests. They are still offering up the sacrifices. They haven't accepted Jesus. So therefore, they're going to have to be purged by God. So they will offer up an offering in righteousness. And of course, that's going to be the Lord. Does anyone have anything on that fuller soap? All I had was Ephesians 5, which we're cleansed with the washing of water by the word. Okay. All right. Now, this is the power of God here that is mentioned. Yes, where we're cleansed by the washing of water by the word. You know, Glenn and I was talking the other day when we were kids, and if we would say tell a lie or something, you know what our parents would do? Wash your mouth with soap. And if, yeah, see, this is what happens. Now, this is the power of God that is going to do this. Now, this is the same power that is working in us today. We keep this in mind. This is the same power. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify us and set us apart, we will not be judged when the world is judged. We will not be judged. There will be some of God's people who will be. They'll still be down here. They may be saved. They may be filled with the Holy Spirit. But if they do not yield to God, they will be judged by God. The second rank will be judged in Pergamos. The name means much married. They're much married to the world. Instead, their affection is set upon things down here instead of upon things above. All right. So he will come and he will wash away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purge the blood of Jerusalem. All right. The fifth verse. And the Lord will create. This is precious. He will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. Now we're going to start right at the first because this is a rich verse. He's going to create. This word create is 1254, if you wanted it from the Strong's, and it's from a primary root word meaning to cut down, in parenthesis, a wood, to select, to feed, and to chew. Create means to cut down a wood, select, feed, and choose. Now, does anyone have any inkling on this? Tell you what, who was wood? Jesus Christ became humanity. He had to be cut down, didn't he? That's why we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We could not have been created. Let's go to Ephesians without him being cut down. Ephesians 1, this two or three verses out of Ephesians. Praise the Lord. This is just the beginning of this. Ephesians 1, 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. And that's the end of that verse, really, in the original. We're in him. That's the only way we were chosen, is in him, not in ourselves. But we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we go back clear before the foundation of the world, because he was there and we're chosen in him. See, our heritage doesn't just go back really to Adam. It goes clear back before the foundation of the world, because we're in Christ. And he was there as that lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But he had to be cut down before we could be grafted in or become part of him. Okay, in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, we're created in Christ Jesus. His life in us was created. It was cut down. And when he was cut down, we went down with him in death, and we came up with him in life. And we came up a new creation. Not the old anymore. We're a new creation. Praise the Lord. Aren't we glad? I'm so thankful that body of sin was left in that grave. And when he came up, that was left there. And we should not hang on to it. All right, Ephesians 4:24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wonderful truths. Again, created. So Jesus had to be cut down to create us in him. And Israel will have to be also cut down themselves before they accept the one who was cut down. All right, he's going to create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and shining of fire by night. This is really called a smoke cloud. Let's go over to Isaiah 65:18. Remember, Satan will be bound during this 1,000 years. Sin will still be here. It will not be a new heaven and a new earth yet. Because at the end of the 1,000 years is when Satan's going to be loose for a little while, and then those that yield feigned obedience, as we read in the Word, pretend to accept the Lord, they will gather around Jerusalem with Satan, and then we read in Revelation, fire will come down from heaven. In 65:18, or let's read the 17th, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. This will be in eternity. But this 18th is what we want. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. And then all of that speaks about the millennium, the rest of that. A child will live to be that 30th verse. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. So God will still judge during the millennium. All right, this cloud by day and a shining of a flaming fire by night. This shall be for a defense. And in the margin, this defense, the glory shall be a defense, reads, it shall be spread a canopy, or the glory shall be a canopy over all. I'll read that again. The glory shall be spread a canopy, or the glory shall be a canopy over all. Now he's talking about this remnant. God's going to spread a canopy over them of his glory. That's going to be a wonderful time. By night, it will be a defense, and that's going to be precious. I want to read something that one of the study books had. He goes into the Hebrew a lot in this study book. He calls it a smoke cloud, and by day and by night, in a fiery splendor, not merely a lingering fiery splendor like that of the evening sky, but as the words clearly indicate, a flaming brightness, and he puts the Hebrew word, and therefore real and living fire. Now, can't you just picture this? This is going to be God himself that's going to create this. The purpose of the cloud will not only be to overshadow, but also to serve as a wall of defense against opposing influences. Israel will still have her enemies, and they will still try to defeat her. And the fire would not only give light, but by flaming and flashing would ward off hostile powers. But above all, the cloud and the fire were intended as signs of the nearness of God and his satisfaction. Isn't that precious? Of his satisfaction, the nearness. They knew he was near. He has a footnote down here. He says the cloud derived its name, A-N-A-N in Hebrew, not from the idea of covering, but from that of coming to meet one. The clouds come towards the man who gazes at them, inserting themselves between him and the sky, and thus forcing themselves upon his notice instead of the sky. Hence the visible outer side of the vault of heaven is also called that Hebrew word, just as the same word is used to denote the outermost portion of the branches or foliage of a tree, which is the first to strike the eye. That would cover, completely cover. But I love that thought, but of that of coming to meet one. This covering will come down to meet this remnant of Israel out of the glory, and he will protect them. That's the purpose of this. Pray. No, the heavenly Jerusalem has not come down yet. This cloud will, over this remnant especially, that will be there in Jerusalem. He will protect them with it, just like he did in the wilderness when he protected them. Also, he had a thought here, and I hope you love to study like I do, but I got so much out of this. He says, in the most glorious times of the temple, a smoke cloud of this kind filled the Holy of Holies. And there was only one occasion, namely at the dedication of Solomon's temple, on which it filled the whole building. And he gives 1 Kings 8:10. But now the cloud, the smoke of which, moreover, would be turned at night into flaming fire, would extend over every spot of Mount Zion, over and over the festal assemblies thereon. The whole mountain would thus become a holy of holies. Won't that be fun? See, they're going to keep the feast. I forget which ones that they'll keep. But they'll keep these feasts on certain days. The book of Ezekiel tells us this. So when they do this, God's going to protect them as they obey him. He will protect them with his cloud. It would be holy not only as being the dwelling place of Jehovah, but as the gathering place of the community of saints. Notice he says her assemblies points back to Zion and so forth. See, he will protect her when she assembles together to keep these feasts that will be, God tells them to keep during the millennium. These feasts will look back to Calvary instead of forward like they did in the Old Testament. These will look back. And I believe there's two feasts, and I can't think of what they are right off. All right. Does anyone have any thought upon that? Isn't this precious? Wonderful things. All right. Shall we go to the last verse? And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime. This word tabernacle means a pavilion or a booth. Pavilion had, Strong's had it, Jesenius had booths. Let's read some scriptures and then we'll come back. Let's go to Ezekiel 37. Praise the Lord. 37. I believe we know who the true tabernacle is. Ezekiel 37 and verses 27 and 28. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. See, there will still be heathen during the millennium. God will still be judging. But notice he says, my tabernacle. Now, let's go to Psalms 46. Oh, there's so many wonderful scriptures in this. I could hardly imagine the fact that God is going to come and fill all in all. I mean, there's going to be nothing left of man, natural man. And he's going to fill everything, fill the whole earth with his glory, especially during the eternity. 46:4. Psalms. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that when the morning turneth. God is in the margin. When the morning turneth. Praise the Lord. All right, this tabernacle will be for a shadow. Let's go to Isaiah 25 and the fourth verse, 25:4. This is what he is to us now. Isaiah 25 and the fourth verse. For thou hast been a strength to the poor. That doesn't mean materially poor, but those poor in spirit. Strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress. A refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat or the trials and the persecution, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. This will be the nations that will come against Jerusalem. And then let's go to Isaiah 32. We'll get into this more in detail when we get over there. Isaiah 32 in verse 1 and 2. Jesus will be reigning. The nations will not be willing to accept him. He's going to have to put down all rule and all power and all authority, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15. Isaiah 32, the first verse. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, or from the adversaries, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. This is Christ. What a wonderful scripture. Praise the Lord. All right, now, who's the true tabernacle? Let's go to John, first chapter, the Gospel of John. Praise the Lord. The depth that's in this word is, it just marvel, I marvel at the wealth that we have that's in these scriptures. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. The word dwelt is tabernacled among us. This was the Word. This was Christ himself. He's the tabernacle. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Remember when God told Moses to build the tabernacle? And everything in that tabernacle speaks of Jesus Christ. He tabernacled among them as they wandered through the wilderness. They didn't know who he was. They didn't know he was in those pieces that they made, the boards that they cut, and the curtains that they made. They had no idea who he was. But think of the wonderful thing that this mystery has been revealed to us. And we can understand all of the types that are in this Old Testament. The Holy Spirit.